Welcome to The Ether. Today is Wednesday, February 23rd, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by LuArt. LuArt is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. LuArt provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, Apollo DAO's terraforming. Let's take a listen.
Yo, what up, guys?
What's up, man?
Chill.
Bruce, can you hear Anon this time?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, I figured I'd start it up a few minutes early because there's always those few extra minutes once you start it. So I'm trying to get everyone speaking and stuff.
To everybody coming in, we're just going to give it a few more minutes. We have a few more guests coming to speak, as well as just going to let people kind of flow in here.
Yo, yo, what's up? What's up?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What's up, man? Long time no see. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. Busy, but good. Good to find the time to get on today.
Yo, PFP looking pretty fresh, my guy.
Yeah, dude. Finally had to make the switch. Yeah. Just had to ape in with the rest of crypto Twitter. So I know I bought a couple on the open market. Didn't get any whitelist. I thought I did. But it just wasn't able to keep track of it. And then looking, yeah, same as you, you know, try and get it on the public sale and then start sweeping floors as well after.
The Tubby Cats is going to be all-time great. I'm a big big Ratwell fan myself.
Yeah, definitely. I thought it just had good virality within crypto Twitter, more than I think I've seen any kind of other NFT project have. So could be interesting.
If only I'd gotten the honorary intern Tubby Cat. Cool. Waiting on anyone else here? Not sure who all was gonna join in. I know we got clean cuts in here now.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
What's up, man?
What's up, man? What's up? Nice to meet you.
Good morning, good evening, or good afternoon to everyone out there. It's a good night for me. Go another meeting after this. Web3 never sleeps.
Yeah. Okay, so just to kind of get started, since we have some familiar faces, some new ones, if you guys each just want to go through and introduce yourselves, kind of what you do, how you're involved in crypto, and then we can kind of just hop into the AMA from there. Clean cuts, if you want to start, that'd be dope, man.
Hey, sure. Yeah, thanks a lot for having me, Yanch and Apollo. Really, really glad to be here. And to everyone listening in, you know, it's really fantastic to belong to one of the largest communities of DeChains out there. You know, people from the Terra Lunatics community. I think, like, you know, most of you might be familiar with my spreadsheets. I think someone made a joke earlier today saying that, you know, Da Vinci has his notebooks and Clean has his spreadsheets. And I think that's pretty true. Well, I'm basically the Mirror Protocol strategies guy. I like to play with premiums. And I also like to talk about crypto networking and education. And so I started my community called DeFi Desk about June last year, and eventually that blossomed into the project that I'm now working on, which is called YFD or Y Foundry. And we're building basically the decentralized vault strategy factory on Terra. And the idea is that once we are launched, anyone can come on board and just turn their strategies into a proposal, which can then create a vault. So yeah, we're trying to power community strategies and share those, you know, fees with everyone who's in the community and those who are really good at like creating strategies. I guess a little background.
Awesome, man. That sounds super dope.
Okay.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
I was just saying that like I got my start in crypto with writing. So I did my writing for some projects on the Ethereum, moved my way to Terra, and I also worked with Munify last year for some time doing content for their blog. And like that was pretty much the last thing I did before. I mean, the first thing I did in Web3, I left my full-time job to work for Munify, and then now I'm leaving that as well to work on my own project. So it's been quite a up and down roller coaster call for a year, definitely.
That's super awesome, man. Yeah, that's a cool path. I think it's great to kind of get your start in the community by contributing to protocols that you like. And it's cool because Web3 is and crypto is kind of like one of the only places that the barrier of entry is just like effort. So that's super cool, man. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys are actually one of Apollo DAO's war chest first seed investments as well. So that's really exciting too.
Absolutely. So yeah, man. I have to say we're honored to have Apollo DAO working with us. They really were one of the first backers that gave us the confidence and the trust and also the connections to get started. So really want to shout out to Apollo community. Like, you guys are the OGs.
Awesome, man. Cool. Yeah. Jimmy, if you just want to hop on, introduce yourself again. If people don't remember, just something about you, your background, where you work, so on.
Yeah, definitely. So got into the space kind of 2017 and 2020, kind of got in a bit more seriously, started Block 49 Capital, which was mainly just like an outlet to kind of produce research, as I thought that was kind of like the best way to break into the space as someone kind of with no experience prior. So kind of covered all areas of DeFi, Web3, took a particular interest in kind of like the Terra ecosystem as well. And then since then, I've joined about 4 months ago, I joined Bitcraft Ventures to help kind of on the crypto team there. So there I'm focused more on gaming and interactive media. So investing in primarily my focus right now is investing in games, investing in infrastructure to support kind of gaming and entertainment on the blockchain. So that's kind of where my focus is now, but huge lunatic, huge into DeFi, but kind of more focused through my work on kind of gaming currently.
Dope, man. Yeah, working on the one thing that we all think is pretty much programmed for 2022. So that must be pretty exciting. I'm sure you see a lot of stuff come through on the daily. Cool, man. Thanks for that. And then Bruce or intern, if you guys just want to give a quick intro, I'm sure a lot of people know you guys, but yeah.
What's up, guys? Sorry, I'm feeling a little under the weather right now, but still had to hop on with the boys. But yeah, I'm one of the co-founders at Apollo. Originally got my start in crypto in like 2016. Started on like kind of Coinbase type stuff, and then just got interested in how the chain worked. So got more into just like, you know, losing money on EtherDelta, and then, you know, like OX, and then kind of just like studying the chain, and eventually started going into this big cross-chain thesis probably like 2 years ago. Found Terra, really enjoyed the stablecoin aspect of it, because I'd been really interested in stablecoins, because I just think that empowers crypto to like a whole new world, because before you'd have to like literally sell your Bitcoin into like US dollar, and then now it's like you can just kind of like risk off and risk on without actually exiting crypto, which is like a huge like kind of close to the loop. So I really got interested in the stable coins then you know, UST launched, because prior to that Terra had SDT, which was like a basket of stable coins, which I thought was pretty interesting, but it didn't really catch the Lindy. Then UST came out, I saw like kind of the crazy growth And then kind of just went all in from there. Once Mirror launched and then Anchor launched, I was pretty sold. Also was like a big fan of Doe early on. Spoke with him a lot, you know, like a year, year and a half ago, when he probably had more time. And then from there, kind of just got into building and applying a lot of my DeFi strategies at a larger scale, similar to kind of what Clean Cuts is doing, where, you know, a lot of the strategies were things that he was doing, and now he's kind of opening it up for, you know, more people to deposit into these strategies and stuff. So just kind of looking forward to kind of growing and just kind of killing it with the boys, you know?
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah, man. Love that. Love that. Love that arc. Let's go. Cool. All right. So just to kind of get started, I think it would be good just to go over general Apollo updates. From a few of the guys, just kind of what you guys are working on, kind of what you've accomplished in the last few weeks, from our last AMA, and we'll just go from there.
Yeah, I mean, I can just give a quick update on some of the war chest strategies, like on a just not like too in-depth level, but so yeah, we're still currently, you know, buying Astro off the market with 20% of the vault fees, like 20% of the revenue essentially. So we're still adding, you know, anywhere from like 15,000 to 20,000 Astro tokens a week at the current prices. As well as we do have the LP. So we've been claiming the rewards. And we also deposited our Astro UST LP into Apollo. So we're now, you know, auto compounding our position there. Looking to still work on building out the convex model and something similar to the convex model. Since we have a lot of Astro, you know, prior to that, we'd probably be able to bootstrap that pool, as well as kind of arbitrage our own pool to keep that peg between the liquid staking and Astro, like kind of close. So a lot of our focus is on keeping that peg close rather than kind of rushing out a product without, you know, properly thinking it all through. And then in terms of the Mars lock drop, we're going to be making a deposit into there in the next day or two. So we will be partaking in the Mars lock drop, probably max lock. Hoping to be one of the larger depositors if things go right. But and then
awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty much the short update, as well as the the Deviant.
Just one. Am I cutting off or something? Can you guys hear me when I come through? Is it all good?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Kind of want to talk about actually both the lock drop and the Astro staking model. I thought it was kind of cool. I think in the time between our last AMA and now, you guys came out as the third largest holder of Astro, which I thought, aside from like the staking contracts or whatever, which I thought was super dope, making a lot of like super good progress there. So excited to see that. But yeah, going into Mars, so I'm like a little bit in the dark at kind of what your guys' partnership will look like there. So if you guys just want to kind of expand on what you guys are aiming to do with Mars, you know, in a kind of protocol to protocol way, and kind of how Apollo users are going to benefit from that, that would be really cool. Just a quick question. How does the no collateral lending work? Is it like a contract to contract lending, and kind of how is that managed?
Amazing. Sorry, can I just jump in here and say, like, I really love the fact that, like, right now we're seeing like new primitives appearing on Terra, and it's just even more exciting than last year when we had basically DeFi Autumn and a bunch of protocols launching. I think we're going to see a much bigger DeFi, I guess you could say, summer coming up, or like spring. And that's something that I'm really excited about. Especially with Apollo and, like, you know, getting all the protocols together.
Yeah, man, I totally agree. Are you like seeing any new strategies that you like for your users at the moment?
Definitely. Like, I can say, like, Alpha Homura is a great example, because when they launched their product on Ethereum, I still remember being there, and like at the time there was probably less than, I think, 100 or maybe even less than 50 like really active projects going on at the time. And so, like, once Alpha Homura came out, suddenly it was like there was a lot of new possibilities. And I think Rari came out around a similar time as well. And it's just like, hey, permissionless lending, permissionless pool, leverage, smart contract loans. And like now that we're sort of having that come over here all at once and not one by one like they did on Ethereum, I think it's going to be a much bigger explosion of composability and DeFi building blocks, basically. Exactly, exactly. And I don't want to turn the agenda too much here, but just adding one more thing, which is about the emergence of DeFi, is that there's a lot of these things where like the pieces will connect, but we still don't know yet how it will connect. And so like as more and more protocols come on, then those like spontaneous connections will become more and more obvious to us. And then we'll see primitives that maybe even didn't even exist on Ethereum before may exist now here on Terra.
Hey, gentlemen, super quickly, and I'm immediately jumping out. Bruce, you're not appearing if somebody is a listener. So it's extended versions of silence. Just letting you know, maybe you can reconnect. So nobody can listen to you, which is a bummer, right?
Oh, I would do the same.
Thanks. I'm jumping
out.
Thanks for letting us know, man. Appreciate that.
I think that's what Mike was messaging us about. And I just looked. Someone was saying something. Like,
yeah, I was going wild on Discord. Like, trying to tag everybody. Going on Telegram. Right? Somebody has to read his messages. No, go ahead.
Oh, man, we were having such a good conversation, too. But
So, I mean... basically, I had to pick up everything over what the other guys were saying when Bruce was talking. So I think he did an amazing job in explaining also Mars. So maybe you can pick it up again from there and the connections. That would be great for everybody.
Yeah, man. Yeah, sounds cool. Great. Thanks, Danko.
Like about our Mars, like the, our Mars strategy, essentially?
Yeah, no, that was not to hear. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool, cool. Yeah, you know, Bruce was basically mentioning that first with Mars, he even did a little Alpha League too. But first with Mars, there's the leveraged yield farming. So the leveraged yield farming is going to be huge because, you know, through Apollo and Mars and, you know, whatever other protocols get these smart contract lending, you'll be able to borrow without collateral as long as the Martian Council basically approves these credit lines. So we'd be able to essentially offer to users, you know, you bring asset A, and in this case, Mars is letting you borrow UST. So asset A would be governance token or M asset. And then you're borrowing the other half of the LP. So you come with like, you know, A and C, you borrow the UST. There's a collateral ratio where you can get liquidated. Or, you know, the farmer's dream is the LP goes up and you're earning twice as much farming rewards. So it essentially allows you to farm with 2x leverage without collateral. Which is pretty innovative. And then we're also going to be doing the lock drop. So we're going to be depositing probably, I think 1 million UST into the lock drop for, the 18 months. So, you know, we're in the Martian Council, so that we can have a say in which collaterals and stuff get added. For example, you know, Apollo itself as collateral one day, and essentially maybe some of our vault tokens that we're looking to release in the near future, which would be like you can basically deposit into ANC UST. You'll get a vault token that is a representative of that share. And then you could borrow against that vault position. So you would be borrowing against interest-bearing collateral. So a few really cool like collabs there. And then we're definitely going to, you know, stake XMARS and earn all of those fees for the war chests as well. So I think right now that would put us as like the second largest depositor in the lock drop at the current rate. I think the largest deposit is 2.7 million. And then we all know Doe's probably up there in the top five. But so, yeah, looking to do that. That's kind of our strategy for Mars for kind of the near future.
Perfect. Am I coming through okay now? But yeah, I think thanks, Sinan. I think you pretty much covered everything there. That was awesome. And I guess
can everybody hear Bruce? Can you guys like give me an emoji like Snow or Danku? Can you guys give me like a 100 if you can hear Bruce? Yes, perfect, perfect, cool. All right, Bruce. It looks like you're all good to go.
Always getting rugged by spaces. But yeah, no, thanks, Sinan. I pretty much covered everything. And I think the only other thing was just saying I think we're going to really see kind of a boom in the kind of Terra ecosystem. I think even kind of coming up in the next couple of weeks, we've got kind of the Prism farming, we've got Mars lock drop. I noticed that Kinetic are kind of putting out their announcement about their lock drop coming up as well. So I think I'm pretty excited about kind of how we're positioned and we've got kind of capital that we can deploy into to each of these. So I think it's going to be a really exciting time for TeFi in general.
Absolutely. 100% agree. I think we're really going to see things that we've never seen before, especially with all the protocols starting to come together.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, I think the more protocols release, the more opportunities there are for everyone and the more kind of new ideas that come. And I think taking Prism an example, it's a pretty good example of something that we've not really seen done elsewhere and is kind of enabled by Terra and by Luna. So yeah, really excited for more of those things that just are only available on Terra, and really looking forward to kind of get involved in those, and the more we can accumulate and the more governance tokens we can get, the more different revenue streams we can have, and the more secure and more stable the war chest is going to be going forward.
Yeah, and exactly. We're also,
sorry. No, I was just going to say, even as we sort of onboard more people into Terra with all these new protocols coming on, and like we can create products that are more accessible, just as how like I think using Terra is a lot better than using MetaMask, if anyone knows what I'm talking about, on your mobile phone especially. And so like basically if we become the best place for new users to DeFi, and then the new users will come here, and that will actually increase the amount of Luna transactions, income to validators, and like more people will stake Luna, and then the security of the network will also increase. So it's definitely like a win-win-win-win situation.
Yeah, man, especially with cool stuff like Alice and Cato as well, actually, that I think are very underappreciated, because, I mean, actually like very normie-friendly, very like useful apps being built in the Terra ecosystem. So that's super exciting. So let's hop into a quick war chest update. Just if you guys want to let us know how it's doing. Anything you guys think we should know?
Yeah, so still accumulating. So yeah, the main focus has been kind of on Astroport, especially kind of ahead of the VX Astro launch. I think this is kind of the best time for us to accumulate. I think as a war chest, you've got to view it as, it's never going to be a fast mover. It's got to be kind of an accumulator, a dollar cost averager. So this has given us kind of a really good opportunity to accumulate. And I think as Anon mentioned earlier, we're getting kind of 10 to 15,000 Astro per week. So kind of keep accumulating, keep kind of building that up. And we kind of really saw how good the kind of the lock drop was. Obviously we were kind of benefited from having our own protocol owned liquidity and being able to deposit that, but we've now built up pretty reasonable amounts of UST. So I think we've got about 1.9 million in UST. So a million of that's going to go to the Mars lock drop. So although that's going to be kind of locked away, it's still, we get all that UST back in 18 months. We're also going to get the ongoing fees plus the initial Mars up front. We've split our Luna, so about 5,000 Luna into P Luna, Y Luna, ready for the Prism farming, looking forward to that going launching and starting to accumulate our AMPS token, our Prism tokens. So think there'll be a lot of good things around that, and then also I guess kind of with the there's obviously a few more coming up. So we've got kind of Kinetic coming up as well, which we'll definitely be keeping an eye on. Obviously, we had our investment in YFD, so really excited for that coming out and that launching. And then we're also running our current Deviant CFE, which is helping us to accumulate some Luna and have some more CFEs. So Terrapins was announced today. No exact date on that yet, but that will be the next one coming up. I think we've had a little bit of a dip on Luna since the peak, but it definitely seems to be a good time to keep accumulating. We've obviously had a bit of a pump today, but yeah, just going to keep accumulating as much Luna UST as possible, as well as kind of other governance tokens. I'm really kind of looking forward to being able to start staking those and offer meta governance as well. So I think that'll be kind of a real interesting feature we'll be able to offer pretty soon after our own governance goes live. We'll then be able to be part of the governance of other platforms and pass that governance on to our token holders as well. Making good progress, and obviously the market's been going down, but I think the way we view it is you almost get kind of a better opportunity for something like a war chest, like I said, kind of a slow moving war chest during kind of slower downer periods. You can just kind of accumulate rather than kind of The euphoric moments, it's always a little bit harder to kind of get hold of governance tokens. So you don't know where they're going to end up. So yeah, just trying to make the most of the market at the moment and keep building it, keep accumulating. And yeah, very pleased. And just looking forward to the lock drops because they seem to be our big chance for really kind of boosting that multiples.
Yeah, I always say the worse my bags are doing, the better the war chest is doing. So it's always, you know, as bad as down bad as you can be, I'm always like, oh, at least we're, you know, DCAing at better prices for the war chest.
Yeah, man. So I pat on the back, like, hey, at least we're getting more votes.
Yeah, but, exactly.
So I really do think like it's a good strategy. You know, it's timing the market, not timing the market, right? And right now the time is saying that, hey, it's going to be a lot more advantageous for you to buy than to be on the selling side. So why not, you know, make the best of it, accumulate it, and then become the super shadowy voters, right, of Web3, basically.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting too, especially because like a traditional fund or big, you know, treasury fund is usually like, you know, most of the time outside LPs that are supplying the liquidity. Whereas in our case, it's a little bit of a different model where, you know, vault depositors are supplying the liquidity, and then we're like kind of deploying it as more of like a syndicate as opposed to, you know, some of the traditional funds. Obviously, some funds bootstrap their own liquidity as well, but it was just definitely kind of a different bootstrapping mechanism to basically create a better product at Apollo. Because if we have, you know, a bit of control over liquidity direction and like piloting liquidity throughout DeFi, it's going to be a better experience for our users. So kind of it's like almost, you know, a traditional whatever you'd say a hedge fund would buy and sell for the most part, whereas Apollo can earn and actually get that power through governance. So it's kind of like one a big like lossless experiment almost so far, where, you know, it's, you know, vault deposits being deployed into these lossless investments. So we're really interested to see how it plays out long term, because you only get one shot at these lock drops is kind of the most interesting part about it. So that was why we wanted to get Apollo up and running so quick, was to take advantage of all these lock drops, because it's like, if we hadn't done the Astro lock drop, we would have a million less tokens.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think, you know, while all the users, including myself, are still like, you know, should I do the lock drop? Should I not do the lock drop? Which lock drop do I do? But Apollo was like, hey, man, you know, while you're still sitting there deciding, we've already got a million of these sitting in our treasury or like, you know, locked and waiting to come out. So I think that's the right move, to be honest, because in the end, you're paying it forward to your users and to your token holders who are the ones who benefit the most. And it should be that way. This is Web3. You know, we're not trying to start a new Web2.
Exactly. And I think it just opens up a lot more different revenue streams as well. So I think having kind of a variety of different tokens ranging from kind of, we'll have the DEX of Astroport, we'll have the money market of Mars, we'll have the kind of the yield direction of Prism. So yeah, loads of different kind of different kinds of projects doing different kinds of things, and we'll exceed and kind of do different all kind of move in different rhythms as well, to really kind of I guess keep it all a little bit more balanced. And I think that the more different governance tokens we can get, the more balanced we can be over a long term, and just keep having revenue coming in.
And we also have Stator tokens as well that are currently vested from their farming event. And I was definitely interested in, you know, I've been talking to a few people and kind of looking through it, where I've gotten like an Apollo validator set up. And then maybe we can use some of our governance or whatever to get us into one of the, like the Stator, like liquid sets or some of the Stator sets, as well as getting into the active validator set. So that's kind of something that I've been, you know, working on just on the side while we kind of do everything else, because I think it's important for Apollo to also, you know, contribute to the infrastructure of the network. So that's kind of something I've been working on trying to get in motion. And I think that we would have, you know, a good amount of community support, as well as through like Stator and other things, where we could even be, you know, maybe part of the liquid staking validators and all of that. So definitely it's kind of like endless where we could go with it. Like, you know, I think eventually it would be amazing if Apollo was to even like start their own, I guess, like validating node service, where, you know, this would probably be like way down the road, but could, you know, purchase some like purchase land somewhere, or purchase like a warehouse and have a ton of validating nodes, you know, set up there or something like that. So trying to cross from being just a DeFi app into being, you know, an infrastructure provider as well. But that's all kind of just, you know, my like stupid, crazy ideas that haven't really been talked about much, but I feel like this is the place to kind of say random shit, right?
Hey, that's the goal, man. You know, say random shit, get rich. but no, I think turning from, you know, just a DeFi app into something that also provides infrastructure is also the goal, like of Web3. I mean, if you can be the DeFi app that's like getting all this usage, you might as well also be the one who's providing the infrastructure to make sure that your users don't get wrecked, right? By like front running or anything like that.
Yeah, completely. I think it kind of, we've always had the view that what's kind of good for Terra is going to be good for Apollo. And I think kind of Apollo Safe is probably the one of the best examples of this so far. Something we kind of, I say we, predominantly other Mike, we kind of built out a front end for this CW3 contract, and we've got some kind of great feedback from this so far. We've seen it used even for stuff like the Nationals deal, which was kind of really exciting to be even a kind of a tiny part of that. So yeah, I think the kind of the more infrastructure, whether it is kind of on-chain stuff like Safe or the kind of off-chain stuff like Anon mentioned, I think the more we can kind of help be part of the ecosystem and help the ecosystem grow, and also kind of provide tools to other projects to grow as well, the better for everyone, and yeah, the better for the ecosystem.
Yo, when Apollo merch at the stadium that I can buy?
Soon, yeah. We should have bought the Denver Broncos. It's only, you know, a couple billion.
When Denver Broncos.
Yeah,
man. It's pretty cool to watch like how much more effective something like collaboration is in a space than like vampire attacks and other things. I mean, you guys are collaborating with a lot of people, making kind of inroads in a lot of different places, which I think is great. Really exciting. But yeah, let's move on from the war chest to the Mirror Steering Council. So I haven't actually heard much about this. If Bruce or Clean Cuts or whoever kind of has the inside scoop wants to kind of expound on this, and we can chat about that.
Yeah, well, wasn't sure this was going to be a topic, but I guess that people have been talking about it. Well, we just invited, I think, Bruce and the rest of Apollo as well into the Mirror Steering Council, because we believe that, you know, in the end, it's the protocols who will benefit along with the users. And also, like, these guys, you know, we all are stakeholders in the Mirror MSN ecosystem, right, which is part of the Terra ecosystem. I mean, one of the first three apps, basically. It's one of the cornerstones of DeFi. And we want to make sure that, you know, it's running smoothly, it's running, you know, optimized and everything. And obviously with like the some of the large spreads that people are facing, you know, whether it's positive or negative, some of that efficiency is not really coming true. And that's why we think like definitely we need to have someone who's actually organizing and managing these things, but definitely not the ones making the decisions, because that's what the token holders are for. So definitely, like, I think a lot of work to be done, grunt work mostly, and we've been starting to do that with the Mirror Steering Council. And I just want to clarify as well that, like, the council is definitely more than myself, so I wouldn't want to speak on their behalf or anything, but I would say, like, the people there are really doing a great job of educating, and also like just doing the research and the number crunching and things like that on the necessary things, and a lot of good things are coming.
Yeah, I think that was all great. And yeah, I think it kind of highlights a bit of something we're kind of seeing with kind of DAOs, and especially kind of the more decentralized the projects are. If you don't have kind of the leadership in place, or kind of people kind of running that and making proposals and really kind of directing the decisions, obviously it will come back down to the token holders on the actual decisions, but you still need people kind of creating those proposals, kind of giving it vision, giving it direction. And I think this is something we're seeing it in Web3. There's definitely, I think people are kind of making progress on it, but I think it's definitely kind of a balance to get between the kind of the decentralization and also the kind of the direction, the vision of these projects as well. And I think, like Clean Cut said, Mirror is kind of key to Terra. It was one of the first protocols, but it was also kind of created and then kind of given to the community, but I think it also kind of does need direction. So I think the more kind of brains behind it and the more kind of people really looking forward to looking to make it succeed, the better for the overall ecosystem.
Absolutely. And just adding to that point is that a lot of people see Mirror as a stock trading protocol, but that's not necessarily true. Its strength is actually in the CDP, in a protocol that can basically bridge over any asset without establishing an actual physical bridge. Like, for example, the MBTC, it tracks, you know, roughly the price of BTC, but it doesn't actually bridge real BTC over from the layer one. And I think that's a huge strength for any ecosystem to be able to have like an alternative to an asset that doesn't necessarily rely on that initial asset. Because what if there was a problem with, you know, the original chain, and, you know, you would not be able to trade that, or you might not even have the liquidity to move that around. But while you're still using synthetics, it's basically like another layer that allows you to still trade and still have some level of security, knowing that you'll be able to have somewhat accurate price exposure to the asset. And so the tighter we make that accuracy, the tighter the spread is, the better that Mirror Protocol will be, the more TVL we'll see, the more fees, the more trading, the more revenue, and basically like all of that generates activity for Terra. So all of us win in the end, right?
Yep. I also think that I agree that the kind of most impressive part about Mirror is that CDP model, because obviously it can, like, obviously it's mainly on, you know, equities and commodities and stuff, but you can really do almost anything with it with the proper oracles. So I even think you could probably build a CDP stablecoin built off of Mirror contracts as well, which would be, I think, an interesting concept even to help keep the peg if you had something similar to, you know, like an over-collateralized stablecoin on Terra as well. That basically could help back some of these M assets. So I think there's a lot of cool stuff you can do with the CDP model, including, you know, stablecoins, equities, stocks. If the FBI is listening, I don't live anywhere near any of those things. So, but yeah, I think the CDP model is pretty interesting.
Yeah, no, I get reminders to go to the dentist from the FBI, so I know just how deep things are. But definitely, dude, totally agree. Like that CDP model is gonna be its saving grace for sure.
I think we're also, I think it's getting more interesting in terms of kind of the collateral you can use. So I think it'll be interesting to kind of see that expand. So I think the latest one I saw was kind of the Lunar X. You could have your kind of your yield bearing Luna, use it as a collateral to mint your stocks, your shares, your stable coin, as Anon said. So yeah, I think there's kind of a lot of places that Mirror can still go and still grow. So yeah, I think we'd be kind of really keen to be part of that, and hopefully be able to help. Look forward to kind of creating some exciting proposals and kind of working with the Mirror Steering Committee in the future.
Absolutely, 100%. We welcome Apollo team and also Apollo DAO's members to come on and just, you know, give ideas, work with the committee, and yeah, it's open to everybody. And also, like, you know, to anyone outside, you know, any other protocol that's on Terra, or, you know, you're thinking of building on Terra, or you're just a user, you know, you have some ideas, come on in and, like, you know, or just messages or whatever. I'm pretty sure like the forum is open as well, and we'd love to hear like what we can do to make Mirror better. Of course, we're working on some stuff of our own. And if you want to sort of like contribute, you know, I think you can also message Poppy or something else, who are the admins on the Mirror Protocol Discord, and they can definitely tap you in.
Awesome, man. That sounds super, super great and super healthy for the ecosystem. So that's definitely a huge plus for the Terra space. But is there kind of anywhere that people can like, find the steering council or steering committee, sorry. Is there like a Twitter or is there a Discord yet, or is it still kind of early stages?
So it's all happening right now natively on the Mirror Protocol Discord. So if you head on over to that Mirror Protocol official Discord, you just message one of the mods, let me know like you're interested in contributing to the Mirror committee. I'm sure like they'll be able to help you out.
Awesome, man. Cool. Yeah, that sounds all really, really cool. And thanks for kind of taking the initiative to make Terra kind of a better place and a more useful and safe place. That's super dope to see.
Awesome. Yeah. So to wrap it up, kind of to end things on a light note, Anand, we kind of wanted to get some ETH Denver reviews from you. How was it? Did you get yelled at by Dot ETHs for wearing a Apollo DAO shirt? Did you get canceled or kind of what happened? How was honestly, everything?
It was a great time. I met a ton of really cool people. I met like some of the ThorChain devs, ThorSwap devs. I got to hang out with my guy YK from Hashed, one of my favorites over there. And yeah, I got to spend a little time with like Hashed, even though, you know, we're not directly working together. We're in the same space and kind of trying to build Terra. So it's really nice to kind of network with just people like, you know, reputable in the Terra space. Also was with Fleece Cannon, the new COO over at Terra, and I got to meet a few new hires over there. So I swear to God, every conference I go to, there's like four new Terra employees to meet, which I guess is kind of bullish from you know, like it's tough when you're just on Twitter and not really on the ground floor. So yeah, and then you know, I met a few of the contributors to that last raise. So I met one of the guys from Tribe Capital out there, and just trying to get kind of more connected with some of the bigger players, and see kind of, you know, just trying to get alpha, but also just collaborate. I didn't get canceled by anyone, surprisingly. There was actually a lot of Cosmos events and stuff like that. Like, surprisingly, there wasn't like any situation that I ran into that was like an ETH maxi thing. Like, I think that it was very it was actually surprising to me kind of how collaborative it was, even with a few different chains there. So I didn't get canceled too hard, but
you know, actually what's kind of funny, a Discord that I'm in, and I will not say names, but there's a lot of like dot ETHs in there, and there's actually one of the co-founders of Ethereum is in there, and we were all talking in the channel, and he was like, don't get mad at me, but I actually own more AVAX than I own ETH, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah, no, I think it was great. There was a huge hackathon, and you know, there was tons of people there. So ended up getting to stay in the Hacker House with a couple other founders, and it's kind of nice to, you know, spend time around a bunch of other founders and builders and stuff like that. And then, you know, there's some good music too. I missed the Tiesto concert because I was lazy, but there was like RL Grime was out there, and it was definitely a great time overall. I definitely met a lot of great people. I was at like some Osmosis stuff, ThorChain stuff, Ethereum stuff. I'm one of those people that's kind of just like into everything. So I'm not really too worried about the chain and you know, all that type of stuff. I didn't get to see Vitalik, but I'm sure he's wearing some weird stuff. And they had the Doge McLaren. I don't know if anybody saw that stuff. They had like a Doge McLaren out front of the conference. And
yep, that was pretty sick. Yeah, actually, that's kind of crazy that we forgot to talk about maybe one of the biggest pieces in Terra news over the past like month plus at least, was the recent $1 billion raise from like all those Giga Chads and yeah. Bitcoin to protect the Luna Peg. So actually, I think that's definitely a great thing to talk about. Jimmy, if you just want to start off, I'm sure you've kind of seen the news. What are your guys' like initial thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I definitely think it's super, super strong and good to see kind of like some of those big institutions kind of putting capital, you know, behind on a 4-year lockup, I believe it is, which I think is a super strong signal. I think kind of it's also super strong for kind of UST and kind of having a bit more of a backing for kind of the peg, which has been kind of like probably like the main area of FUD around Luna, especially, is kind of the reflexivity of these kind of algo stables. So I think overall super bullish, and it's great to see. And you know, I think it'll be super strong and set kind of Terra up for kind of long term success, especially as we see this year. Kind of hopefully the DApp layer expands, and you know, we start to see some strong performance from some of the Terra alts as well.
Yeah, I'm definitely a fan of the Jump Chads as well. I think they were one of the leads on that. Got a chance, like I said, to meet a couple of them. Like, had dinner with a few Terra people, and Kanav was there, and a couple of the other Jump guys. And you know, it was great to hang out with them and kind of see what they're viewing on. And I know that they're very bullish on Terra, and helping to maintain the peg and stuff. So I'm really looking forward to working, you know, somewhat alongside with Jump, because obviously Wormhole, Terra, you know, they're building big infrastructure. So if we can, you know, help bring liquidity through Wormhole into our vaults and incentivize in a bunch of different ways to kind of help, you know, supply more builders into the ecosystem. Since now there's so much capital, obviously, you know, the next step is to just bring in more builders, bring in more value. So I definitely am pretty bullish on Jump and a lot of the other bigger players that were in that round. And it's good to get a chance to speak with them in person and kind of see that they're, you know, pretty genuine and put their kind of like skin in the game, which is something that I like to see from a different, like, you know, an investor. It's nice to see skin in the game and, you know, actually kind of working alongside builders is something that I personally think is a very good quality to have. So definitely bullish on a lot of those people that are in that raise. And then obviously Three Arrows is pretty big, really well known. We all know Suzu likes to come on Twitter and say crazy stuff. So he's a great copy pasta guy. So a lot of copy pasta off of him. I know the, but definitely glad to have people like that involved. It, like I said, it's a huge sign of confidence with the 4-year lock. And then now obviously Jump was the ones that gave the proposal to expand the liquidity parameters after the May crash, where essentially during the May crash, there was like there was only X amount of exit liquidity within the parameters. So to help kind of ease any of that like larger exiting from UST, I think that the expansion of the parameters to, I think it was to from 20 to 100 million. I might have just made that up, but it was something like 20 to a larger number. And then as well as the BTC reserve, I really do think the peg is stronger now than ever because, you know, you have so much more liquidity for people to exit out of so that the, you know, the peg won't kind of get screwed up by not enough liquidity. So definitely was very bullish on those proposals. And I think that the Bitcoin reserve is kind of like an icing on the cake as far as you know, peg stability goes. And then I think that they'll probably expand into a larger reserve outside of just Bitcoin eventually. But I mean, I'm sure there's ways for them to grow that. And they got in at a, you know, a decent price depending on which way the market goes from here.
Yeah, man, I share actually a lot of the same thoughts, obviously, but just to kind of add on a little bit, I thought it was actually really cool that they kind of took on the oldest and most decentralized money as kind of backing for what we want to be the newer kind of most decentralized money. So that was kind of cool that they like raised it all in Bitcoin. But of course, I'd love to see them kind of expand into Ether and other coins in the future. But yeah, man, super bullish. Luna Futters, Luna Peg Futters are in disbelief, bro. That's all I can say. I definitely think
a lot of them are pretty bad at math, and I thought that I was really bad at math, but apparently don't want to name any colleges, but some of those colleges might need to reteach some math.
Yeah, man, I am definitely very bullish in addition to kind of, I mean, like the whole Wormhole situation gave me a lot of confidence in Jump that, you know, something that they're invested in building infrastructure for and building around, that they're kind of down to, you know, have the back of those ecosystems and projects. So that was super dope. Yeah, I would love to meet the team there someday, maybe when I come to the next conference in the US. But yeah, man, very, very bullish. Hopefully we can get Kyle Davies shilling Luna as hard as he shilled Avax.
Seriously. I think that he probably will. I think that he'll get pretty hyped up from when the lunatics just start getting hyped up. So I can see that really snowballing. I haven't met the 3AC guys other than I know like one of their OTC guys, but I haven't really had a chance to talk with them at all before. So definitely interested to kind of see what they're going to kind of do to help grow Luna. Obviously the capital, but I'm sure that they have more in mind than just putting money in after like a 4-year lock. You kind of want to put a little more resources into something like that to make sure that you get your return as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think that kind of like Luna based MEV will become like Terra ecosystem based MEV will become like very kind of hot and competitive space with like the addition of all of this new money and also smart crypto native money. I think that's, I mean, like probably one of the best ways to make money out of the ecosystem. But I mean, with that comes the, you know, inevitable protection of the peg, as that's like one of the largest kind of profit sources in the system, aside from just straight arbitrage. So yeah, man, I mean, I think it'll be very, very healthy, or at least make the peg very, very healthy and strong. So yeah, man, super dope.
I completely agree with all of that. And I think it's really exciting to see, and just really excited to see all the confidence in Terra that those investors obviously have. And they've obviously got in at, I think we saw that it was kind of $51 they got in for Luna. So I think they're obviously kind of see a lot of growth in the Lunar ecosystem. And there's some very smart guys there as well.
Yeah, they're like, that's another take where, you know, you don't like big, you don't put in big capital like that. If you're expecting like a 1 or 2x in 4 years. So, you know, not to make any bold predictions, but I think that the price of Luna, you know, those type of people aren't going for a 1 to 2x is essentially the point. So I'm assuming we'll see in the next 4 years, like unprecedented growth from Luna upwards to, you know, I honestly personally think anywhere from like, you know, 1500 to like 5,000-6,000 is like, obviously everything has to go, you know, according to, but I think if we do see some, so like the mass adoption that we're expecting, that the price of Luna, especially with the deflationary asset, could definitely go a lot higher than most of us ever expected, as it already has for some of us that got in early enough. Never expected to see Luna even at $50, to be honest.
Jesus, bro, we got the number one like Luna reply guy in the chat. Let's go, Luna to like $8 million. Let's get it.
I think 2025 we could see maybe 10 racks per token.
Oh, dude, I will buy you a private jet if we see 10 racks.
The Apollo jet. Sounds good. So I think Clean Cuts does have a little bit of alpha leak, and he does have a hard cut in a couple of minutes. So I don't know if 2 minutes is enough time to get it out, but just give him a quick chance to talk.
120 seconds left here on the clock, so bit of a crunch, but I'm sure you guys waited all the way to the end will be quite satisfied with this. We are happy to start announcing that basically we've already started putting the first pieces of the GSF smart contracts onto testnet, and we're looking at the beta launch somewhere in March 2022. And then in April, that's going to be slated for Hedge Plus, so it'll be a beta vault launch. And then the following month in May, we are looking at governance and basically our beta MVP.
Awesome. Can't wait. More projects coming and really excited.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. I'm excited to hop in and check it out and give feedback and everything like that, man. Super, super excited. Well, it was great having you guys on here. Clean Cuts, super nice to meet you and talk to you. Apollo guys, as always. But yeah, we will see you in 2 weeks for the next AMA.
Yeah, it was a huge pleasure for having us. Talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you so much, everyone. And yeah, but thanks everyone for joining. Always great.
Peace, guys.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Apollo Dow's Terraforming, recorded on Wednesday, February 23rd, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes, and check them out online at WeFund.app. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Have you heard about the new Terra Invest Strategy Discord server Orbital Command spun up? If you're looking for a chill place to chat about different Luna stacking strategies, or looking for some alpha, or if you're trying to find the best UST farms, or even if you just have a quick question you need answered, be sure to stop by TIS and say hi to the Orbital Command gang. Hell, I'm even in there sometimes when I'm not editing hours of CeFi Spaces. You can find me in that server chatting about NFTs and answering basic Terra Luna questions. The link to the server is in the show notes, and for more information, check out orbitalcommand.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Walking down the street late night with the worst time. Never underestimate the lines that are curved right. Everyone investigated line, bad a birthright. Get it off my chest a bit, typing out a word pie. Gonna eat shit straight to your safe place. Soup with a fly on a spoon in my database. Update the playlist, bumping these 808s. Ain't no way I'm saving face, sitting with these shady mates. Got a whole dog ready for a head in it. Jumped out a plane, now he's feeling all bedridden. Looking magnificent, dressed like a hoarder. Rip on his tombstone, he couldn't take orders. Orders. The game is whack, knick-knack, caddy-shack. Go for the low-hanging fruit like a paddy wagon. Maniac, trying to wash off the damage. Just another night throwing javelins. Focus on the craft, lifting up brain weights. Repping that repetition like he's gotta represent. Disconnected from the rest, even when he's feeling blessed. The rest never comes soon enough. Rumors bluff, ruined luck, bruised up from being the elusive one. Mr. Do or Die, suiting up hungry. Like a broke Iron Man, stunting for the country. It's all lovely on the day he got the call. It was time to ship out, done waiting on y'all. Isolation on the pilot ship was a fucking cakewalk. He was made for the rush. When it's time to find a planet, who they gonna send? How the fuck you think you gonna handle the descent? About to fall asleep for 20 years. Are we there yet? Creeping where no one's ever crept.
Terra Spaces.